नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 27 विच इज इन प्रोज, सो वी विल रीड द वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स ट्रांसलेशंस। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In this materialistic life, there are many difficulties, as I have just mentioned, and all of these are insurmountable. In addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, envy, enmity, insult, hunger, thirst, tribulation, disease, birth, old age, and death. All these combined together to give the materialistic conditioned soul nothing but misery. Purport. The conditioned soul has to accept all these conditions simply to enjoy sense gratification in this world. Although people declare themselves great scientists, economists, philosophers, politicians, and sociologists, they are actually nothing but rascals. Therefore, they have been described as mudhas and naradhamas in the Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskriti no mudha prapadyante naradhamaha mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Due to their foolishness, all these materialists are described in the Bhagavad Gita as naradhamas. They have attained the human form in order to get released from material bondage. But instead of doing so, they become further embarrassed amid the miserable material conditions. Therefore, they are naradhamas, the lowest of men. One may ask whether scientists, philosophers, economists, and mathematicians are also naradhamas, the lowest of men, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead replies that they are, because they have no actual knowledge. They are simply proud of their false prestige and position. Actually, they do not know how to get relief from the material condition and renovate their spiritual life of transcendental knowledge and bliss. Consequently, they waste time and energy in search for so-called happiness. These are the qualifications of the demons. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that when one has all these demoniac qualities, he becomes a mudha. Due to this, he envies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, birth after birth, he is born into a demoniac family, and he transmigrates from one demoniac body to another. Thus, he forgets his relationship with Krishna and remains a naradhama in an abominable condition, life after life. Hare Krishna. In the last few verses, we have been seeing how Jada Bharat is informing Maharaj Rahuguna about the kind of calamities and dangers that befalls the conditioned living entity when he tries to enjoy life in the forest of this material world. And if that is not all, because of the circumstances around him in the forest, where the gnats are biting him, and there are so many varieties of difficulties coming from family members, society, and all kinds of difficulties. If that is not enough, in this verse, he explains, in this materialistic life, there are many difficulties, as I have just mentioned, and all of these are insurmountable. In addition to that, in addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, and all the difficulties that are mentioned in this verse are internal difficulties. Even if one says, I'm expert at managing things in this material world and somehow making a comfortable situation around me, still in addition to that, Jada Bharat explains at least 15 difficulties over here, coming from happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, envy, insult, hunger, thirst, birth, old age, disease. So many varieties of troubles that these are in addition to originally what have been mentioned in the previous few verses. So there is no escape for the living entity who is trying to enjoy in this material world. There are no loopholes. It is a determined fact that one is going to definitely suffer over here. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that one may be a scientist, philosopher, a mathematician, sociologist, expert at things in this material world, but still one is lowest amongst mankind. And he explains why. Because he says that actually they do not know how to get relief from material condition and how to renovate their spiritual life of transcendental knowledge and bliss. They have attained the human form of life in order to get release from material bondage. But instead of doing so, they become further embarrassed by their knowledge. And therefore they are called Naradamas. So they have got this human form of life to get relief from material bondage, but their activities lead them to further miserable conditions, and therefore they are defeated, and they are lowest amongst mankind. We find that Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is explaining to Arjuna a gradual process of elevation, culminating in the 6th chapter, where he says the best amongst human beings is the yogi. He's better than the empiricist. He's better than the fruitive worker. He's better than the jnani. And amongst all the yogis, Krishna says, one who is always meditating upon me, mad gatin antar atmanaha, is the best. So till the 6th chapter, we find many times Arjuna is asking questions to clarify his doubts and Krishna is answering his questions. But in the 7th chapter, which is the knowledge of the absolute, Krishna directly starts speaking to Arjuna. And he says, Arjuna, tat shrinu, now you just hear. When you come to the platform of perfection of always remembering me, you just hear about me. And so many advantages are explained in this verse. Maya saktamana partha, yogam yunchan, mad ashrayaha. Your mind will be fixed upon me. You will be surrendered unto me. You will come unto me. And in this way, Krishna promises Arjuna that if you simply hear about me, you will attain all knowledge also. Then Krishna, in just 2 verses, describes all that knowledge. First, he explains that if you get this knowledge, you will know everything that is to be known in this world or beyond, in the spiritual world. And then he says, it's not so easy to get it. Rare among men, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Then in text 4 and 5 of the 7th chapter, in just 2 verses, Krishna explains all knowledge possible in essence. In the first verse, he explains, bhumi rapo nalo vayukam manabuddhir evacha ahankar iti amme bhinna prakriti rashtada. In this material world, you will find nothing else but these 8 of my separated qualities. Finished. The whole material world defined in one verse. And then he explains, apareya mitastvanyam pakritim vidhi me param. There is one more element in this material world, and that is the spirit soul. And how is this spiritual soul different from the material elements that I have mentioned? Yayedam dharayate jagat. He says there are 2 qualities. One is, the soul is conscious. And 2, the soul has the power to manipulate and control matter. In these two ways, the spirit soul is different from matter. And then Krishna says, although the soul and matter exist in this world, I am transcendental to both. And then he explains, although I am transcendental to both, it's not that I am somewhere far away. This entire material world, everything is going on by my energy and my strength. In fact, I am the essence of everything. And then from text 8 to text 12, Krishna is explaining how rasoham apsu kaunteya, the taste of water that quenches the thirst. Krishna says, I am that. Prabhashmi shashi surya yoho. I am the light of the sun. I am the light of the moon. I am the energy in man. I am the Omkar and the Vedas. And in that way, Krishna explains how this entire material world is pervaded. And in essence, is his energy. So one may naturally have a question that if Krishna is everywhere and Krishna is in everything, then Krishna is within the modes of material nature. Krishna is also bound in this material world because Krishna is everywhere here. He is the taste of water, he is the light of the sun, he is the light of the moon. To clarify that matter, Krishna says no. Etad yoni nirbhutani. That all these material elements, I am not under them. They are under me. They come from me and I am the source. And to emphatically prove the point, Krishna says, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. No, what is that? Devi yesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. He says, this entire material energy, Devi yesha gunamai mama maya, it's my energy. I am not under the material energy. And what is the proof? If somebody surrenders unto me, then maya metam tarantite. So, Krishna says, if one just surrenders unto him, then one can overcome maya. The question is raised that if Krishna is everywhere and Krishna is in everything and he's just immediately accessible within this material world and simply by surrendering unto him, one can see him. Of course, the first question is why can't we see him everywhere and in everything? That Krishna explains is because one doesn't surrender unto him. The curtain of maya separates the living entity from Krishna. Maya javani kachhannam agnyad adokshajam avyayam. Na lakshase mudadrisha nato natya dharoyata. Krishna is explaining, actually this is Kunti Devi's prayer. And she's saying, maya javani kachhannam, my lord, you're such an amazing actor that nato natya dharoyata, that we can't actually perceive your original activities by the apparent activities that we see within this material world. Because when we see with our material vision, it is like, it's like covering us with a curtain. Maya javani kachhannam. And you are transcendental to our mundane vision. Adnyat, agnyat, adokshajam, avyayam. Because we are behind this curtain of maya and you are adokshaja. You are infallible. You are unchangeable, avyayam. Na lakshase mudadrisha. The mudadrisha, one whose vision is muda, is foolish, is limited. Na lakshase, we cannot see. Just like one cannot perceive an actor who he is if he's expertly acting another role. So Krishna is a supreme absolute truth. But that supreme absolute Krishna is acting like an ordinary human being. So sometimes people misunderstand him to be an ordinary human being. So then, why one cannot see Krishna? Because one is covered by the curtain of maya. So then Krishna says, if you surrender unto me, that curtain of maya is gone. Then the next question raised is, why doesn't everybody surrender to Krishna? It's so easy to achieve Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in everything. Then why don't people surrender unto him? That Krishna explains in the 15th verse. He says, Namam duskriti no muda prapadyante naradama maya parita jnana asuram bhava mashrita. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that simply by surrendering oneself unto the lotus feet of Krishna, one can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. Then why don't these intelligent, hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? Prabhupada says the Gita answers this question very frankly. And then he explains that there are 12 learned, faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, and scientists. The 12 Mahajans. Prabhupada calls them faithful politicians, philosophers, educators, and scientists, etc. They surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are not actual philosophers, educators, administrators, but pose themselves as such for material gain, do not accept the plan or the path of the Supreme Lord. So what separates one from surrendering unto Krishna? This demoniac mentality within the heart, which Prabhupada explains is dushkritinaha. In the purport, Prabhupada says kritinaha means action which is performed with great intelligence. So even these materialistic personalities may have great intelligence, they may perform meritorious work, and they may work very hard to produce many wonderful things. However, all their hard work is in the wrong direction. And why is that? That is because they are against the purpose of the Lord, against the plan of the Lord, and therefore they are dushkritina. So one may ask this question, that why does the Lord allow the non-devotees or the dushkritinas, those who are lowest amongst mankind, the asuras, to make so much progress? In fact, sometimes it even bewilders the new neophyte devotees that, you know, we are struggling so much, we are just a few of us, we don't even have so many facilities for preaching the Lord's message. And here we find the materialistic people making so much progress. So much razzle-dazzle, huge cities, countries, nations, so much power of money and control they have. And why is Krishna allowing that? Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains, one of the reasons is that Krishna wants the materialistic people to perform all the hard work and the devotees to enjoy all the fruits of that hard work. In fact, one time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. I think Gaurang Prabhu mentioned that past time a few days in his class. That Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he was going through a beautiful garden. And then Srila Prabhupada asked, "So where are all the karmis?" And the devotee said, "Prabhupada, they are all sleeping." Prabhupada said, "Just see. They have worked so hard, created such a beautiful garden. It's early in the morning and we are taking a stroll in this garden and enjoying the facilities." So they work so hard, but then it's ultimately the devotees who get the benefit. In fact, Hiranyakashipu worked so hard to perform so much tapasya, and then he got the entire universe. And then ultimately, the Supreme Lord just killed him and then gave the universe to Prahlad Maharaj, who had to not perform any hard work to enjoy those facilities or to accept those facilities. Another reason that the non-devotees or the karmis or those who are not following the plan of the Lord are allowed so much material facilities is that these facilities, they grow and they grow and they grow, and ultimately the entire civilization gets crushed under the weight of these facilities or this material economic development. Srila Prabhupada is giving a simple example that if one has a lot of gold, that may be very valuable, very attractive. However, if one is drowning in an ocean, what is the value of that gold? It simply helps you to drown faster. So one gets crushed under the weight of the same material opulence that one has. So one should not become bewildered by seeing that, oh, why this person is having so much material opulence, or how the materialistic society is able to advance in their science and technology. The very fact that they are dushkritinaha, they are against the plan of the Lord, those very facilities will be a cause of their downfall. And every civilization has seen it. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and now even the modern civilization is seeing that gradually, 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 it's like a doctor, you know. An Ayurvedic doctor sometimes gives a medicine for a person who has a boil. And the first experience of the boil of the patient is that the boil becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And one wonders what's happening. It's so painful. It's becoming so big. But the fact is that when it becomes so big, then two things. Either it is very easy for the doctor to cut it off, or naturally it just grows and grows and grows and bursts, put. And then all the pus comes out. So this advancement of materialist civilization is like this growing of the boil. It's growing, growing, growing. But ultimately it's going to get destroyed. Or then it's easy for the doctor to cut it out. Therefore, Prabhupada says that in order to get release from material bondage, they have got the human form of life. But instead of doing so, they become further embarrassed amid the material conditions. Therefore, they are called Naradhamas. Because they are against the plan of the Lord, all their plans are ultimately baffled. And Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse in Bhagavad Gita, gives two examples. The example of Hiranyakashipu and the example of Ravana. Hiranyakashipu, what was his plan? He had a plan that he will try to become immortal. It is the injunction of the Lord, it is the design of the Lord that everyone in this material world will die. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. If one is born, one has to die. And for one who dies, one has to be born again, and that is the law. Vasam jirnani yatha vihaya navani grinani yathoparani. That the body is going to grow old, get diseased, and finally die. It's like a pair of clothes. The old clothes we throw away, and new clothes we wear. That's the law given by the Lord. But Hiranyakashipu said, no, I'll break the law. I want to be immortal. There is no problem in being immortal. It is the nature of the soul to be immortal. However, to remain immortal within this body, that is a demoniac spirit. To go against the law of the Lord. In fact, one time Govindrupa was explaining to us that it's a demoniac idea to bring the dead back to life. Of course, devotees and the Supreme Lord sometimes bring the dead back to life, but they don't allow them to live forever within that body. Like he gave the example of Narad Muni bringing the son of Chitraketu back to life. And then the son of Chitraketu gave some transcendental instructions. He said, I was on my path ahead because of my own karma, and why have you brought me back? And which mother and father are you talking about? I have had hundreds of mother fathers. Hundreds of mother fathers I'm going to have. So, which mother father are you talking about? And when Chitraketu Maharaj and his wives, headed by Kritadyuti, heard these instructions from this child, not only it was captivating because it was coming from their own child, but also because it was so penetrating and powerful, they got transcendental realization and the child went along on his path. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Leela of dancing in the house of Srivas Thakur also brought the son of Srivas Thakur back to life. And the son of Srivas Thakur, he gave transcendental instructions. And he spoke the message of the Lord. And then again he went on his path, on his sojourn ahead after leaving his body. However, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Govindrupa was explaining, Shukracharya, he was so powerful that he was bringing the dead demons back to life by putting them into an special mystical well with so many mystical potions within it. By mantras, herbs, chanting, some mantras, he was actually bringing them back to life. So this idea of trying to remain within this body forever is a demoniac idea which is against the plan of the Lord. That is the example Srila Prabhupada gives of Hiranyakashipu in this purport. Also, Srila Prabhupada talks about Ravana. Ravana's idea was that he wanted to build a staircase to heaven. Now, the law of the Lord is Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa. That if one is in goodness, one goes up to the heavens. One is in passion, one can come back to this world. And then if one is in ignorance, one goes to the lower regions. But Hiranyakashipu, even he wanted to actually change the law of the world. That if you perform sinful activity, you go to heaven. If you perform pious activity, you go to hell. And Ravana, he said, don't worry. Just become my follower. I'll make a staircase to the heaven. You don't have to do anything. You just walk up the staircase and you will go to heaven and enjoy the delights. Sometimes these demonic personalities, instead of outrightly going against the plan of the Lord, they try to perform some good activities. And they try to show themselves and convince themselves, justify themselves to be very good. However, because it is against the plan of the Lord, this good is the worst enemy of the best, which is to become a devotee of the Lord. Sometimes these demons even speak good philosophy for their own purpose. Like in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyaksha had died, killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Varahadev. At that time, there was great lamentation in the house of Hiranyakashipu. I mean, just imagine, two powerful heroes, so powerful that they were just without an army, roaming around in the universe, and going, challenging and destroying all the demigods in their own homes, in their own, like they say, home pitch, you know, in their own houses, on their own battlefields. Hiranyaksha is going deep into the waters, challenging Varunadev. I want battle. Give me challenge. Give me this happiness of fighting with you. And he's folding his hands and he's saying, no, I am no match for you. Please forgive me. And he laughs and goes away. Just see his power. Two such powerful brothers and such a happy household, and suddenly Hiranyaksha dies. So much pain, so much distress. So then, to alleviate that pain and distress, Hiranyakashipu starts speaking philosophy. And he says, what can we do? Ultimately, everything is in the hands of the Lord. Destiny reigns supreme. The soul is unborn. It never dies. So don't worry about Hiranyaksha. He is living. Who says he is dead? He lives forever. He loses the spirit within our heart. And in this way, he starts speaking so much philosophy. In fact, he gives powerful, convincing arguments with examples and analogies to prove that there is the existence of the soul, that the Lord is in control, and we are all just puppets in the hands of Daiva. So we should not worry and lament for what is happening within this world. One should see the bright side of things. Do positive thinking. You can win. Fight it out. Try and try until you succeed. So they can even create these philosophies for their sense gratification and show that they are good in this world. Hiranyakashipu says, Pathichyutam tishtati dishtarakshitam grihe stitam tadvihatam vinashyati. He says, Pathichyutam dishtati dishtarakshitam. Just imagine that you have lost your money or purse on a street where there are lots of people coming and going, like on a marketplace. Patit chutam tishtati. The money has fallen, the purse has fallen, and so many people are coming and going on that place. Now, many hours later or even a day later, one may realize, oh, I've lost my money. And one may go back to that place. And one finds one's purse or one's money right at that very spot in the middle of the street where hundreds of people have passed. Who protected it? The Lord protected it. The Supreme protected it. Because it was in front of everyone's eyes. But still no one took it. Grihe stitam tad vihatam vinashyati. Something like that. It is said that if somebody may be living within the house, well protected, still a person dies. Jivatyanatho pitadikshito vane. And then he explains that if somebody is in the forest, there are so many wild animals over there, he is not protected by anyone, still he lives a whole lifetime. How? Grihe bigupto sehato na jivati. On the other hand, grihe bigupto, one may be well protected in a house, still na jivati, one may die. Like children, especially children are so well protected by their parents. They are given all kinds of facilities. The best doctors are there. The parents' heart is in the child. And even the smallest difficulty the child faces, the parents are there to support and protect the child. Still a child dies in spite of all the medication and support. So he says, Dishta Rakshitam, Patichutam Tishtati Dishta Rakshitam. The Daiva is protecting. Therefore, the purse has been saved, or the person who is living in the house, he has been saved. No, I'm sorry. Sometimes the example is that you may lose money on the street. However, the money which is in locker, very well kept within your house, that may be stolen by the thieves, expert thieves. Or someone may be very well protected in the house and one may die, but in the forest, one may be living and in spite of all the wild animals, still one may be protected. So who is ultimately protecting? Is it by our own power? No, Daiva is protecting. So Hiranyakashipu is giving all these philosophies and he's trying to show that he's very good. Still, he was destroyed by the Lord. Sometimes such duskritinas, they even take to material welfare activity. And they try to show that, oh, we are very good. We are trying to help others. Still, this good is the worst enemy of the best. Because by doing that, they are taking people away from directly surrendering unto the Lord. People are suffering because of their sinful activity, because of the demoniac spirits. And by doing such so-called good, instead of eradicating their sinful activity, they are giving them more impetus and sense gratification to, so that they become well, they become stronger, they have more facilities to continue their sense gratification. In fact, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Daksha Prajapati is chastising Narad Muni, and he's saying that you have done a great injustice because the law of this world is that one must perform sense gratification in this world and one is frustrated with one's sense gratification, then one will get very deep, strong realizations backed up with experience, experiential learning. One has experienced all this sense gratification and one has seen that there is no pleasure within it. So one will be deeply convinced. Some intellectual conviction will not give people the strength enough to maintain their renunciation. So you have cheated my children by giving them some intellectual knowledge that this material world is a temporary place full of suffering. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that is not a fact. Srila Prabhupada says, he gives three examples to show that even if a person has experience within this world sufficiently, still, one will not renounce this world because of the hopes for further enjoyment. He gives the example that if a person is diseased and he goes to a hospital, his disease is eradicated. When he comes back, he performs the same sinful activity and gets the disease again. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a woman who is bearing a child within her womb and sometimes experiences excruciating pain in delivering the child. And then sometimes the mother vows, I'm never going to have another child. So much pain I have to go through. And again in a few years you find that she's bearing a child. So simply experience is not good enough to teach the right lesson. In fact, Prabhupada also gives the example of the thief. And he says the thief, he sees that people are getting caught and thrashed. Sometimes he himself gets caught and gets highly thrashed and beaten by the police. But still when he comes out, again he performs the same activity. So the idea is that simply by experience one will not learn within this world. One has to be in touch with the devotee of the Lord, get transcendental knowledge from that devotee, and by the mercy of that devotee, those experiences will turn into realizations. Till then, one will still continue to have the hope that I can enjoy within this world. Srila Prabhupada also gives the example of the hippies. Prabhupada says the hippies, they could renounce everything. Their families, their friends, so much money, opulences. But there is one thing they could not give up. And that is attraction to sex enjoyment. Attraction to sense gratification with the opposite gender. So this enjoying spirit within the heart, this demoniac spirit of going against the plan and the will of the Lord, that demoniac spirit is the curtain that doesn't allow the living entity to actually see the Lord, serve the Lord, and follow the plan of the Lord. So the Mayavadis, they may say the whole world is illusion. They may say the whole world is false. But Srila Prabhupada says, still, they are expert at enjoying this illusion. The demoniac spirit is not gone to enjoy within this world. Whether one may renounce as the hippies, or one may call this world as illusion, one may have so many philosophies, one may even be a materialistic welfare worker. Still, at the root, this enjoying spirit, or the demoniac spirit of not following the plan of the Lord, is still strongly there within the heart. In fact, the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip, there is a very wonderful prayer where they say that even after reading all the scriptures, if one is still afraid of death, then what is the use of his reading the scripture? That means the point they are trying to say is that after reading the scripture, one must achieve the mercy of the Lord and his devotee, by which one must get realization of destroying this demoniac enjoying spirit within the heart. Then one can follow the plan of the Lord, and one cannot be a Naradama, as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport. Therefore, sometimes it looks that the materialistic people are advancing so much, and they're making so much progress in this world. However, at the right time, or at the end moment, they fail. Shamanand Prabhu was giving the example that it's like playing a football match. Sometimes, you know, it seems that a materialistic person living in this world, he's having everything going his way. He's having a good family, he's having a lot of friends, education, money, everything. And in that football match, till the third quarter, he's winning. Even up to the final few minutes, he's winning 20 love against Maya. But just when the final whistle is blown, you find the score is 21-20. At the real time, he loses. When he actually needs support and strength, ultimately at the time of death, everything is taken away from him. However, for a devotee, he was explaining that even if everything is going wrong in his life, as he expects within this world, still, at the real time of need, he is able to remember Krishna and he gets all the help from the Supreme Lord. And why is that? That is because he is always trying to follow the plan of the Lord. And this is very beautifully exemplified in the life of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, when he was performing his sacrifice, at that time, Vamandev, a beautiful, young, small, dwarf-like Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who had taken up that form for the purpose of the demigods, comes to the sacrifice of Vamandev. Of the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. After requesting 3 paces of land, 3 steps of land, we know that Vamandev expanded his size. Within 1 step, he covered the entire earth. With another step, he covered the entire universe. And he requested Bali Maharaj for the 3rd step. That was a very fascinating moment in the life of Bali Maharaj. After deep contemplation and introspection, he requested the Lord, there is one more thing that I have in my possession that I would like to offer to you. And that is my own body, my entire self. My Lord, please put your 3rd feet on my head. Because Prabhupada explains in the purport that one's possessions are secondary to one's body and one's self. One's self, unless there is a self, what is the value of the things? So the self is higher, and Bali Maharaj wanted to offer that. And after accepting that, that was not enough. Bali Maharaj's followers, Vamandev's followers tied Bali Maharaj, like an animal it is explained, insulted him, and if that was not enough, his wife came, and she said, my Lord, very good. He was such a materialistic enjoyer, he was thinking that he is a proprietor of the 3 worlds, that he can offer you something, good that he deserves this punishment. And then Prahlad Maharaj comes, who is his mentor, his grandfather, his spiritual counselor, his spiritual master from whom he is getting spiritual guidance. And Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, your activities are wonderful. In that state of utter rejection, even his followers rejected him, his wife rejected him, he had no opulences, he was bound like an animal. Bali Maharaj spoke a beautiful verse of his personal realization. And he says, Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandam arhatam arpitam yamna mata pita brata suridascha dishantihi. What a superb realization. From his heart, Bali Maharaj is saying, My Lord, this is the best possible mercy anyone could achieve. Pumsam shlagyatamam manye. I consider it to be the best of mercy. What is that best of mercy? Dandam arhapitam manaha. This danda, this punishment that you have given to me, is the best possible mercy that you could have ever given. And then he compares this punishment to all other possible punishments within this world. Yamna mata pita bhrata. Such a punishment will never be given by a mother, a father, a brother, any relative. Suridascha adishanti, even a well-wishing friend. You have given me this mercy, which is this punishment, more than any other mercy anyone could have ever even thought and given. Now in this condition, how can one see this as mercy? How can one see this as something special, a reward being given? That Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Because Bali Maharaj knew the hidden purpose of the Lord. Because Bali Maharaj knew the hidden purpose of the Lord, therefore he could appreciate these so-called reversals in his life as the mercy of the Lord. See, these materialistic people, if they are duskritinas, they are bound to be suffered and get destroyed because they go against the plan of the Lord. We saw the life of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, how they wanted to go against the Lord, against his plan. Even if they are good as so-called materialistic welfare workers, as Mayavadi is giving philosophy of how this world is an illusion, or even if they become hippies giving up this world, renouncing this world, still the demoniac spirit of enjoyment doesn't go to know the plan of the Lord. And at the real time, when they need the help, they are destroyed. Ultimately, at the point of death, they are destroyed. So, the proof that a devotee is helped is that a devotee at the time of reversals, which are like mini-death, at the time of death, Krishna says, Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. I will personally come and help him and take him back to Godhead. But the proof that one is a devotee is that even at the time of reversals, which are like mini deaths, small challenges, one can remember the Lord and can get help from the Lord. So even after reading all the scriptures, when one is submissive and surrendered to the Lord, knowing the plan of the Lord, then in those times one can be helped. Therefore, Bali Maharaj thanks the Lord from his heart. And he says, Aho pranamaya krita samudyamaha prapanna bhaktartha hito samahitaha yalloka paler tvadanu graho marer alabda purvo pasade surer pitaha. He says, My dear Lord, you are so merciful. First of all, he could see those reversals and those challenges as the Lord's mercy. That itself was a great realization given by the Lord to him because he knew the hidden purpose of the Lord. And on top of that, he is telling the Lord, My dear Lord, what did I offer to you to get this mercy? Just one simple obeisances. Aho pranamaya kritasya mudyamaha. When you came in front of me, I simply offered you obeisances, and that also not fully, simply within my mind. Prapanna bhaktartha hito samahitaha. And you are so merciful and wonderful that you gave me a reward which is given to the pure devotees. Yalloka paler tvad anugraho marer. And this anugraha, this mercy that you have given to me, is more than even the demigods can conceive. Therefore, my Lord, I am convinced you have come here not for the purpose of the demigods, but for the purpose of the demons. He's expressing two things. He's expressing his humility as a demon, and he's expressing his gratitude to the Lord that, Thank you, my Lord, you have actually come here to help me and give me mercy. This fabulous consciousness is the mercy that Vamandev gave to Bali Maharaj. And the beauty was that Bali Maharaj could capture this mercy and could understand that, yes, this is the Lord's mercy. And this is possible for one who knows the plan of the Lord. One who knows the hidden purpose of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. If one does not know the hidden of the purpose and the plan of the Lord, then one is a Naradama. Even though one may be a philosopher, a scientist, a poet, or whatever, he cannot be saved from the forest of material enjoyment. And even if he's expert at maintaining his status quo in the material world, still, in this verse it is explained, in addition to that, there are so many difficulties internally, like distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation. This, a devotee is saved from, because he surrenders unto the Lord and he follows the plan of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee folds his hand and thanks the Lord. Praharshayishyami sanata jivitam. I am so grateful, my Lord, that I have got a fitting master to whom I can surrender and offer my service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think it's time up, so we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare